and 5, where Paul says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." We spoke in the weeks prior that at the end of the 490-year period spoken of by Daniel, Daniel, who was given a prophecy by the angel Gabriel 500 years before, now at the end of that time, as that time was nearing, the angel Gabriel himself was sent to give a message to Zechariah about the coming forerunner, about John, who would be born. And then we also spoke about how the same angel, 6 months later, came to Mary to invite Mary to be the one who heaven had seen and heaven had chosen to be the one that would give birth to the Messiah, Jesus. And by faith, Mary said yes. And so the way was prepared for the child. Have you ever wondered why it was done this way? I mean, the manger in this obscure place by this obscure family from Nazareth. We mentioned it when we spoke of Mary. But to think that the one who was the creator of all was to become an embryo in the woman, in the womb of this maiden woman. And as opposed to just be a grown child, he could have come as a grown child. He could have come as a man and just appeared at his 27th year or 30th year when he started his ministry. He could have come in so many ways. He could have come in a palace. He could have come from a well-renowned family. But to come as an embryo in Mary's womb, to grow up, to be subject to the risks of all the genetic variability and problems that can happen during development, to be subject to the risk that can take place at birth, let alone being born in a stable, on the road, far from home. Why would he enter the world in this way? It seems so inefficient. But efficiency has never been God's priority. His priority has always been about sufficiency to save you and me. Consider what actually happened in order for such a thing as the Christmas story to even take place. Listen to how the Bible describes the pre-incarnate Christ, how he was before he stepped into the lake of humanity to become one with us, for the Word to become flesh. The Bible speaks in this way: when the fullness of time had come, the one who in the beginning was with God. In fact, the Bible says he was God in John 1, verse 1. In Philippians 2, verse 6, he says equality to God was not something that he had to grasp, nor did he desire to even hold on to it. The Bible says in John 1, verse 18, that he was in the very bosom of the Father. It was an intimate expression, a way of expressing how close Father and Son were in eternity past, one with each other. In Colossians 1, verse 16, it describes him as the agent of creation. He was the majesty of heaven, the commander of the angels. He was the Father's appointed heir to all things, the brightness of the Father's glory, and he upheld all things by the power of his word. And in him, all the fullness of God dwelt. He was described as the master craftsman in Proverbs chapter 8, who was always in the presence of the Father. He delighted and rejoiced always before him, the Bible describes. they hung out, father and son. There was nothing, there was no greater joy. The point is this, he was with the Father in intimate, close association. So close that in ways that our closest relationships can only faintly compare. So when the fullness of time had come, the Bible speaks of a revelation of a mystery that was kept secret since the world began. That secret was to be made known. The revelation or mystery is also spoken in this way. Jesus as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world in Revelation 13. What does that mean? It just means this, the plan for you and me, the salvation for you and me, the plan for Jesus to come and be in our place and to step into humanity, to become one with us and one as us. That plan was in the heart of God even before you and I were ever created. Even before this planet was created, there was a plan. Consider these words written in Signs of the Times in 1893. From eternal ages, the covenant of grace existed in the mind of God. It is called the everlasting covenant. For the plan of salvation was not conceived after the fall of man, but it was that which was kept in silence through time eternal. The purpose of the plan of grace existed for all eternity. Before the foundation of the world, it was according to the determinate counsel of God that man should be created and endowed with the power to do the divine will. The fall of man, with all its consequences, was not hidden from the omnipotent. Redemption was not an afterthought, a plan formulated after the fall of Adam, but an eternal purpose suffered to be wrought out for the blessing, not only for this Adam of a world, but for the good of all the worlds that God has created. The point is this, God has always had you on his heart. Even before you were born, you have always existed in his heart. A plan for the salvation of man was made before creation. God already had a plan in place. And I don't know what notions of God you have had, but it is not in the heart of God to think of himself. Never has been, and it never will be. His heart will always be for others. And so with a full knowledge and anticipation of what he would face, Father and Son, who had covenanted from eternity past, came to that day when the fullness of time came, and they gave their last divine embrace. They who had never been apart said their final divine goodbye, as they both knew that nothing would be the same again. And Jesus, one who with the Father became an embryo in the womb of Mary, subject to all the cell division and developmental processes, the risks of childbirth, in a stable no less, to be Emmanuel, God with us. Why? Why at such risk, at such cost, would heaven do such a thing? Because God puts you before himself, and he loves you personally in ways that can never be measured. Let that thought percolate and come to your full consciousness now, and consider the value he has placed on you as you listen and watch the Christmas story read and portrayed before you this morning.
Now, the birth. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call him his name Emmanuel, which, translated, is God with us. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
To save the world. as the Christ born in Bethlehem. A baby born to save the souls of men. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Heaven's love reaching down to save the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Son of God, Son of King, here with us.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as was told them. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Thank you. Okay, ready? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17.
Lovely, and I would like to invite you, the congregation, to read the following verses. I'd like to invite everybody to read the following verses with us. I believe they're in your bulletin inserts, and so I invite you to read them with us together. Our first one is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Let us not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
Okay, we will be singing another song, Silent Night. And we just ask that a congregation would join in on the third verse. On the third verse, we invite you to sing with us.
Testifies to these things, says, "Surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
And there the nature's
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the infinite gift that you've given us in Christ. Father, may our hearts and minds fully comprehend this. Father, we need your Spirit to move upon our hearts and minds so that it will be fully so. And the reason, Father, is so that it will make a difference in our heart and life. So we invite you, Father, into our hearts now. And lead us from this place, Father, with the joy that heaven intends for us to have and the hearts of service for those around us. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. May you have a blessed new year.